World. Well, it's time for us to do a little bit of an introduction, even though we said the Mishnah yesterday. I think it would do us some good to get a little bit of an overall look on the sugya, because
it'd be Ilui Nishmas for Richie's parent.
He didn't. Yeah, he forgot to write me, I think.
He sent it.
Oh, okay. I didn't see it.
And what daf are we on?
Okay, 1 second. Start up again. Okay. So today's daf in Masechet Shavuot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Chof, and we're learning today Lezecher, our dear Richie's mother, Tziro Bas Yerachmiel, the Ilui Nishmata. So yesterday we began the mission of the new Perek here on daf Yotes Amud Beis. And I suggest that because we have so many inyanim and so many different parshas to look at, that you take out your trusty chumashim while I open up the proceedings over here. And note that we're going to have a lot of different type of shvuas, so we should get some of the names straight when we begin. So we have, of course, the shvuas bitui, which is what we just discussed. Now, shvuas bitui takes two shapes. Shvuas bitui is, the way we understand it, the pashtus from the posik, lehara o lehetiv. Now, the reason that was the centerpiece of our discussion until now, because that was the shnayim shein arba that was chayev in the korban ola v'yored, and that's the part of shvuah we've been talking about. Now, that part of shvuah appears in the parsha of the korbanus itself in Vayikra, in the korban ola v'yored, and over there, it said beferish lehara o lehetiv nefesh ki tishava levate bisvatayim lehara o lehetiv b'chol asher yivate ha'adam b'shvu'an. A note, just that fascinating language of yivate, because we're going to be talking about that a lot today. So we have there ki tishava. Who is talking here?
Rabbi, sorry, where's Rabbi reading from? What's the verse and pasuk? Sorry.
I said where I'm reading from. I'm reading the pasuk that we've been working on for the past 3 weeks. What kind of question is that? Where am I reading from? That's a pasuk that you know backwards and forwards. That's the pasuk in Vayikra He, which is the parsha of Korban Ola V'Yored. Is your internet not working? Or are those laser beams not working? Okay. So let's read that pasuk again. This is our favorite pasuk for the past few weeks, because this is the same parsha that, of course, is the vanilla, where we've been talking about the vanilla. This was the other Shnayim Shein Arba, remember, and that was the common denominator that we found between these parshias, and that was the whole introduction that we had to this, the Masechet as a whole. So this is the other part of that parsha. O nefesh ki tishava, take a look in your sefer Vayikra, Perakei, Pasuk Dalid. O nefesh ki tishava, levate bisvatayim, lehara o lahetiv, l'chol asher yivate ha'adam b'shvua, v'ne'ela mimenu. So here we've got one v'ne'ela, this connects it to the other v'ne'ela that we had in the parsha of Halamas Tuma and Halamas Migdash. Okay, there were a lot of things we pointed out at the beginning of the Masechet that combined these two sugyas. But we're moving on now into this sugya, and note, as I just mentioned, the lashon of livate. Not quite clear what exactly that adds. Livate bisvatayim. To enunciate with your lips. What? Lahara oleitiv. Do something bad for yourself, or do something good for yourself. L'chol asher yivate ha'adam b'shvu'ah. Now, it doesn't say anything about the type of oath that people take when they want to swear something is true, or they want to swear in court, or they want to swear that they didn't steal the cookie from the cookie jar. All of those things are not in the future. So therefore, they are not lehara o lehetiv. Yet, we said that the shvuas were shtayim shein arba, because they were also lehara o lehetiv in the mirror image. And this is a time mirror, not a space mirror. But in the time mirror, lehara would be to say, I'm going to do something tough for myself, which is, I will not eat the cookies. And therefore, the mirror image of it is, I did not eat the cookies. And the leitiv is, I will eat the cookies. Now, of course, things have changed, and maybe that's no longer looked as being so good. But anyway, the cookies are definitely good. So I will eat the cookies is considered to be leitiv. And I did eat the cookies in the past is the mirror image in time. Now, remember that we had the machlokas before between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva said that it's Shnayim Shein Arba, and there is a mirror image of a Shvuas Bitui backwards in time, which is apparently the way we would think about it on our own. We would never put together those two things at all, because one of them has to do with establishing the truth of something, and the other one is a commitment to do something, or not to do something. It's sort of weird that we learned them both out of the same pasuk, Shnayim Shein Arba, according to Rabbi Akiva. And we're going to see more about that today, what actual issur you're over on if you did that Shvua Sheker. So that is number one, Aliba de Rabbi Shmuel. There's no chiev on the mirror image. There's no chiev of Shvuas Bitui, of a carbon olav yored, for saying, I did not eat the cookies in the cookie jar, or I did eat the cookies in the cookie jar, and therefore, we would not have Shnayim Shein Arba, obviously, according to Rabbi Shmuel. This is Shvuas Bitui. Now, we also have the Shvua that is mentioned in the Luchos HaBris. Lo tisa et shem Hashem Elokecha lashav. That's back in Shmos, of course, in Parshas Yisro, where we have the entire Luchos. And there it says, an important diyuk. Lo tisa et shem Hashem Elokecha lashav. Ki lo yinakeh Hashem et asher yisat shmo lashav. From which we're going to see later that we learn that although Hashem, it says, will not be menakeh, Bezdin will punish you and be menakeh. So the lo tisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha is not Shvuas Bitui. It's Shvuas Shav. Shav means in vain. In vain would mean that what I'm saying is completely meaningless. So either I say something that is meaningless because it's obviously nuts. So I say that this stick is actually a pile of gold, and I swear to that. That's a shav. If I say this stick is a stick, and I swear to that, that's also a shvuah shav. Shav, because it's in vain. It establishes nothing. It's meaningless. If I say I am about to disappear in front of your eyes and reappear on Mars, that's also a shvuah shav, because it's something that is not doable. We'll talk about the variations of shvuah shav when we get to discuss shvuah shav. It's important to note today, because of the similarity of shav and bitui l'sha'avar, that's the problem. Because shav is essentially saying, which is simply not true. And that, what's the difference between saying that and between saying, I did not steal the cookies from the cookie jar, when we have a video of you stealing the cookies from the cookie jar? The only difference is that one of them is on its face not true, and everybody knows it's not true, because you're claiming that the stick is a pile of gold, whereas the other one, you'd have to have the information from the video camera that you did steal the cookies from the cookie jar. But other than that, the idea seems to be somewhat the same. We'll explore that later today. Then we have the other shvuas that are mentioned in the Torah, which are shvuat ha'edut, which somebody hears that he's supposed to give edut, and he denies he knows any edut, and he swears that he doesn't know any edut. And then we have shvuat ha'dayanim, where a person has to swear in court to a tvi'ah. Somebody says, you owe me $100. He says, I only owe you $50. Meidah b'miktzas, yischayev shvua. Or an Eid Echad, Yitzchayev HaShvua, that's called Shvuat HaDayanim, they administer the Shvua. Then we have, of course, Shvuat HaPikadon. Shvuat HaPikadon is where somebody has lost or claims that it was stolen from him or things like that, a Pikadon. Then it says Shvuat HaShem, Tiyeh B'Shem, Lo Shalach Yado. Fine, that is another parsha. All of these parshas of Shvuat we're going to be discussing. However, We won't go through all the psukim today because these are separate parakim. So today what I'd like you just to note is the pasuk that we opened up with, which I thank Alon for making me point out where the pasuk is. Okay. So that was, no, I'm serious. So, I mean, I just took things for granted. I shouldn't take things for granted. But, okay, so that was the parsha we had in Oil of Yair, right? And then we had the pasuk from the Luchos HaBris in Yitro. Now, I'd like you to also take a look at other psukim. The other psukim would be, take a look in later on in Kedeshim in Vayikra, where over there we have looked at, this is in Yotes, Vayikra Yotes, and pasuk Yud Aleph, Lo tignovu, velo techachashu, velo techaker ruish ba'amito, velo tishbu'u vishbi la'shaker. So there we've got an iser lav, an azara. Do not swear in my name falsely. Okay, you're not clear what the difference between that is. Is that the same case as the lahara la'ediv? Is it the same case as la'sha'avar? It's definitely an azara, which we didn't know where it was. Keep that in mind in Kedoshim. Now let's move on to Bamidbar and take a look at the many psukim that we have in Parshat Matot. So there we have, Vayidaber Moshe al Roshei HaMatot Livnei Yisrael, Lemor, Zeh Adavar Shetziva Adonai, Ish Ki Yidor Neder LaAdonai, O Yishava Shivua Lesor Isar Al Nafsho, Lo Yachel Devaro, Kekol HaYotzei Mipiv Yaaseh. Here we've got another Isser. Not to be mechalal the words that you said. Now that has nothing to do with the don't take a shvua. It is don't violate the commitments that you made by taking an oath or a vow that this is what you're going to be doing. So this is a different lav, lo yachel devaro. But besides that, you'll notice that there are three different languages in this pasuk of what it is that could aser you on something. It says ki yidor neder. It says, O Yishava Shavua, and it says, Le'esor Isar. Now, that same language occurs later on in Pasuk Zion, right there in Matot, right at the opening. Ve'imayoti yele ish, unidoreha aleha, so that's neder. O mifta sifateha, that's mifta. And then there's asher asira, and that's a lotion of iser. So these words keep occurring again and again. Neder, Mifta, Shvua, Isar. And that's going to be our opening salvo over here in understanding the nature of that language. Now let's take a look at Pasuk Yud Aleph, just a few psukim on. Ve'im Beit Isha Nadara. Oh, Asra Isar Anafsha Bishvua. So this is another Lashon of Shvua, but it's Bishvua. Now that seems to be saying something different. It's not a Shvua, it's in a Shvua. We're going to see if that Lashon means something else. And we have also later on more diyukim in what type of Isurim, but those are Nogeria, more the dinim of the Dorim, so I'll skip that right now. So let's take a look once again at the Mishnah we did yesterday, go over it quickly, and get into the diyukim in the psukim today. Shvuot shtayim shein arba. Now this, of course, as we said, is going a libid Rabbi Akiva, who holds that the same lahara la'itiv in the future is also, or was a ra, or was meitiv in the past. And as I said, this is a mirror image, but it's a mirror image not in space, it's a mirror image in time. And again, it's rather striking that they have anything to do with each other, except in terms of the time reversal, right? It's like weird. In terms of what it means when we say, I took a shvua, I mean, we usually take that to mean, I took a shvua that this wasn't true, like in court, something like that. Or, you know, I promised somebody it wasn't true, I took a shvua. But the shvua that we're talking about in the Torah is something completely different. It's a shvua that I will do something or I won't do something, and it has to do with the future. And it's not establishing the truth of something. It's establishing my commitment to something. So those things hopefully will become clearer as we go through the sugya. What are the shtayim shein arba? So the shvua she'ochal, I will eat. Shelo ochal, I will not eat. Those are the ones that are beferish in the pasuk. She'achalti, I did eat. V'she'lo achalti, I did not eat. Those are the shvuas that we learn out in the mirror image. And that equals 4. Now, shvuah she'lo ochal. That's the guy swears he's not going to eat anything. And he eats one crumb of something. So what is the din? We know that normally, when we have an isra of achila, the isra of achila has a particular shear attached to it, and that's the shear, normally a shear of kezayit, except in certain special cases where we could have a larger shear of a kibetzer, or a smaller shear of for a sheretz or something, or a birya, fine. But the idea of eating, per se, usually means eating a kezayit. Nonetheless, in this case where a person ate only a crumb, he would be chayev just for eating that crumb, divrei Rabbi Akiva. Then everybody gangs up on Rabbi Akiva and says to him, Omra lola Rabbi Akiva, who ever heard of such a thing? Heichan matzinu bo'ochel kol shehu shehu chayav shezeh chayav. Where in the world do we have a dugma in the Torah that somebody could possibly be chayev for eating a speck? I mean, there's no such thing. Omar lahem Rabbi Akiva, and why are you comparing this bichlal to the Isra Achila in the Torah? Have you ever heard that someone should open his mouth, say something, and now he's chayev? And he's not going to have to bring a korban? So obviously the point is, that this guy could just be medaber or maybe korban? So what makes you compare it to an Isra Achila? The point over here is that he is being chayev for what he said, not for what he ate. Now the question is, okay, what did he say? What did he mean when he said, I will not eat? Did he mean, I will not eat according to Chazon Ish here? Did he mean, I will not eat according to Reb Chaim Noach here? Or he meant, I'm not going to ingest anything? The normal lashon of Bnei Adam, which is how we define Shavuos in the Nedarim, is that when a person says, I will not eat, means I will not ingest. It has nothing to do with a particular shear. And therefore, I don't see, says Rabbi Akiva, why you compare it to an Isra Achila. It isn't an Isra Achila. It's an Isra Shvuah. Now, says the Gemara, you said she'ochal v'shelo ochal. Now, I'm just curious about your language. She'ochal means you said, I will eat in the future, because you said its mirror image was, I did not eat. And she'lo ochal is, I won't eat in the future. But is that true? That I will eat ochal, that means I will eat? What about the following? Shvu'ah lo ochalach. Shvu'ah she'ochalach. Lo shvu'ah she'lo ochalach. In any case, where a guy said, I swear I won't eat by your house. Or, I swear I'll eat by you. Or, I will not swear that I won't eat by you what I don't eat by you, which means I will swear that I won't eat what I do eat by you. Any of these languages are meaning, I will not eat. And you're telling me it means I will eat. Omar Abaye, of course the word ochal, for heaven's sakes, I mean, do you know how to speak Hebrew or not? Ochal means I will eat. The question is the context, and this we need to establish right up front. Tonality and context. So one is a case where misarvim bo le'echol. One is a case, that's the case that we brought of shvua lo chalak, and the other is the case, that's the case of our Mishnah, where there are no contextual hints about the guy meaning something that he doesn't say. So somebody is telling somebody, look, you got to eat by me. You got to eat by me. You keep promising you're going to come in and eat by me. You're finally over here in town and you're not going to eat by me. Come on, get it. Anyway, the guy's going nuts. So he finally says, listen, I swear I would eat by you. Okay. Or if he says that, that's the notion of shvuah. By God, lo chalak. Or I. So that's shvuah lo chalak, obviously. But even he says, it should be a shvuah what I would eat by you. What he means is I should be over on a shvuah if I eat by you. Or I make a shvuah what it is that should be also what I don't eat by you. So even if it's a double iser language, I shouldn't have a shvuah if I don't eat by you, but I will have a shvuah if I do eat by you. All of those cases in the context where Bisarvimbo lechol and he doesn't want to, then it means, obviously, that I don't want to eat, and I'm making a shvuah to that point. Whereas our mission is talking about the guy just makes an announcement where he says, I will eat. B'shein misarvim bo le'achol. The braita of the raminu that we bought is b'misarvim bo le'achol. The guy keeps saying, no, I don't want to eat. No, I don't want to eat. No, I don't want to eat. And he finally says, shvuah. So that means, if he finally makes a shvuah, he means I'm making a shvuah what I would eat or I will not eat. That's how to interpret his words. So that means that we know right from the beginning that words don't necessarily mean what they say on paper. They mean what they say contextually, and tonality is important. Ravashi says, look, I mean, the Braita could simply be missing a word, not shvu asha ochal, but I mean, if you take a look at the word e ochal, it's talking about she e ochal lach, which you could barely hear. She e ochal lach, I mean, I will not eat by you. And that's what he's talking about. So obviously, if I understand, I need a braita to tell me that a person swears I will not eat by you, that he made his swear that he will not eat by you. So what's the point? Because again, the type of word like e, the difference between iochal or ochal is so close that you might say that unless something is clear, we could always think that it might be a slip of the tongue. And lishne the itkele, we can't actually create a shvua that is mechayev a person on his dibur if it could easily be heard as a slip of the tongue. Kamash malan, no, we don't worry about possible slip of the tongues. What we hear is what we hear. So in context of our other understanding of the Braita, this is almost the opposite. You heard what you heard. The first understanding of the Braita was you only heard what the context allows you to hear. Now, here is the question of how to understand the various words in that pasuk. You will recall that the word miftah kept showing up, right? Again and again. And the word isar kept showing up again and again. Are those only adverbs for the taking of the shvuah, or are those concepts? So the Braita says, if a person uses the word miftah, then he could use that instead of saying, I swear I won't eat this kikar. He says, I miftah that I won't eat this kikar or kikar, or miftah I make this kikar upon me. So basically, that would be the equivalent of saying I'm taking a shvuah, because since the Torah keeps expressing the idea of the shvuah as a miftah, the word miftah itself is taken to be a shortcut to understanding miftah is a stand-in for the word shvuah. Now, how about the word isar? The word isar is also a stand-in for shvuah. What is the isar of using isar? So the isar of isar would be the equivalent of, we'll have to see how we understand these words because they're sort of weird words, but the isar of saying isar is essentially a depends, says Abaye. Here's how to read it. If the person said miftah shvuah, if he said isar, it's a shvuah, but only maybe, because the isar of isar depends on your opinion. Im ata omer isar shvuah, then you'd be chayev, and if not, you'd be potter. Now, this makes no sense. What do you mean, if you say? You just said isar shvuah. Now you're saying, well, it's a shvuah if you hold that it's a shvuah. I mean, that's pure nonsense. You say first it is a shvuah. Im ata omer. So what does that mean? Om rabaye hachikoma. Miftah is definitely a shvuah. Isar is not a shvuah. Isar is the equivalent of a mitvas b'shvuah. Now, mitvas b'shvuah means that if somebody would say, I'm taking a shvuah not to eat this piece of bread, and then he comes along and sees a piece of fish, and he says, this piece of fish should be the same as that piece of bread. That's being toe-faced. Another thing in something that was also as a shvuah. There's a machlokas about whether mitvas b'shvuah is considered to be the equivalent of a shvuah, or whether you need to make a separate shvuah on something in order to make it aser. When you use the word isar, says Abaye, the meaning of Ravashi rather, the meaning of that is that in the, no, it says Abaye, I'm sorry, oh, I have this weakness, which some of you know. If I get Abaye and Ravashi on the same page, for some reason, they are always the same. I don't know why my brain sees Abaye and Ashi as the same. It's weird. But anyway, so yes, it was Abaye explaining, in fact, the din of Mifta, as opposed to Ravashi before changed the lashon of the Braita. So excuse me. So yes, it was Abaye who says, if you use the word Isar, you're essentially saying, I want this thing to be usher on me as if there was an extant shvuah, and I'm applying that shvuah to it. So it is the equivalent of a mitvas b'shvuah. Now, if you hold that a mitvas b'shvuah is usher, then this is usher. But if you don't hold that you could be mitvas b'shvuah, then this would not be usher. So Om Rabbi Yochikama, mifta, that's straight out shvuah. But isar is only mitvas b'shvuah. The iser of the word, quote, isar, therefore, unquote, depends. Im ata omer mitvas b'shvuah is the equivalent of kamotzi shmua mipiv dami, then you would be chayim, because essentially you made a shvuah by being torfes ki'ilu on something that's a shvuah, because you just said it's usser. And I mean, usser doesn't mean a shvuah, but it does in the sense that things that you say are usser out of the blue are actually attaching themselves to the concept of shvuah. But if you don't hold that, and we'll see that it's a machlokas, the imlav, it would be potter. That's how to understand the statement. Now, let's go back and see why we made this statement. In other words, what was the indication that mifta is a shvuah, and what is the indication that iser is sort of the equivalent of a shvuah in terms of mitvas, but it is not itself a shvuah? Well, let's take a look at the psukim so that we can understand them better. Umimai de mifta shvuah. I don't understand. Again, I'm a naive reader. I don't understand where you're getting this distinction between mifta and isar. I mean, they both keep coming up in all of the psukim. So I'm assuming, why do you say that mifta is a shvuah? Okay, because of the pasuk that we had here in Vayikra, of our main opening pasuk, which is the carbon oil of the yored, where it says, "O nefesh ki tishava livate bisvatayim." So there, it's talking about making a shvuah with a mifta. But I mean, that word is all not more important than the word isar is in matot, is it? Isar nami. What does it say in matot? Kol neder the choshvat isar. What do you want? Isar. So isar shvuat isar. So mifta is shvuah, isar is shvuah. It should be exactly the same. So I guess that's not where you're learning it from. Okay. So maybe the idea of isar being a matfis b'shvuah is because you saw the pasuk also in matot a little bit before, which said, O asra isar al nafsha bishvuah. Now, maybe that's the point. Because if you said you created the iser through a shvuah, now that sounds like a hatfasa, right? It's as if there is a shvuah, or in this case, there is a concept of a shvuah, and you use the word isar to attach this to a shvuah, but it's not itself a lashon of shvuah. Maybe that was your diuk. But if that was your diuk, you've got exactly the same diuk when it comes to mifta. So we're back where we started from. Take a look at the pasuk that expresses it that way. Then the idea would be that mifta should be exactly the same, because it also says beferish the same lashon in our opening pasuk. L'chol asher yivate ha'adam, back in Korban Olah V'Yored, so I don't understand how you're coming up with this crazy thing that it's maybe only a mitvas b'shvuah, whereas mifta is a shvuah, if both words, bishvuah, appear both by iser and by Miftah. And both words Shru'ah, without bit, appear again both by Miftah and by Iser. So where are you coming up with this idea that they're different, that Miftah is a Shru'ah and Isar is only a Mitfas b'Shru'ah? It seems completely arbitrary to me. Elam Rabbi, I'll tell you what's going on over here. The word Miftah is a Shru'ah, not from where you saw it, but take a look at this pasuk. Ve'im hayoti yela ish. Now this is also the pasuk that we had in Matot. Ve'im hayoti yela ish unedorea aleha o miftah sifateha asher asra al nafsha. Now on the surface, this sounds just like all those other psukim, miftah or isar or nedorea, right? It's just like the same pasuk, but it's not. Look at the very conspicuous missing word in this pasuk. What's the missing word? Shru'ah. I mean, the main idea, isn't it? Neder and Shru'ah? And this pasuk leaves out Shru'ah? How could you leave out Shru'ah in the main pasuk introducing what the dinim are of a woman as Isurim on her? And instead of the word Shru'ah, what appears? Nidoreha. Oh, miftah sifaseh. Oh, so apparently miftah is the shvuah. Vilu shvuah loka amar. That's the insight over here, says Abaye. If you leave out the word shvuah, so b'maya sra al nafsha. So what? What did she do? She said a shvuah, but it doesn't say that. It said she said a miftah. Exactly. Obviously, miftah is a synonym for shvuah, and it's not a mitzvah for shvuah. It is a shvuah. That's the point of the Miftah, says Abaye. That is something that we never find when it comes to Isar. And therefore, we've got the one place that a word is used in exactly as a synonym to take the place of Shvuah is there in Matot Benogea, a woman who has Isurim on her, and that accounts for the difference. Rava says, now this is not how to read it. The Isar of Isar is the Miftah, depends on whether the old Mitzvah or Shvuah. Let's start from the beginning. My opinion is for sure that a Mitfas b'Shvuah is not a Motzi Shvuah Mipi. Okay, so that is the wrong way to understand the whole thing that Rav Ashi had said originally, that it's all about, it depends, that if you hold Miftah, Mitfas b'Shvuah, that's not true. Mitfas b'Shvuah is not a Motzi Shvuah Mipi. So therefore, getting back to the original statement, here's how to read it. Miftah is a Shvuah. Isar is also a Shvuah. Miftah, Shvuah. Isar, Shvuah. Now, the Asareha di Isur. Now, you know what that meant? Doesn't mean what you said, that the extent of the Isar of Isar depends on your opinion. It has nothing to do with that. It's pointing out another amazing thing. The type of Isser that the word Asar creates is, that's the variable over here. That is because, since you see that the Torah took the word Isar and it stuck it right in between Neder and Shvuah, why does it do that? So since Hitilo HaKatuv Bein Neder L'Shvuah, as I'm just going to prove to you in another minute, that would mean that as opposed to Miftah, which always means a Shvuah, the use of the word Isar depends on whether it's formulated as a Neder or it's formulated as a Shvuah. Now remember the essential facts of Shvuah and Neder, which I think has definitely been a Gavi point from before, but it's worthwhile to remind ourselves. A Neder is when the person assers a chefetz on himself. A shvuah is where he talks about himself as either not going to eat this type of thing or yes, going to eat that thing. But one is an isser on the chefetz and the other is an isser on the person. The Torah was never mechayev a korban ola v'yored on a neder. The Torah was only mechayev the korban ola v'yored on b'shvuah. Therefore, it depends how you phrase that word Isser. So if you said, Kikar zu alai Isser, this piece of bread is an Isser on me, that's a Neder. If you say, Alai Isar lechol Kikar zu, that's a Shvuah. And therefore, the Torah has left open the language of Isser to be not necessarily a neder and not necessarily a shvua, but to be defined by the language. That's the point. Now, you'll recall that normally, remember this from the Dorim, we are understanding of people's loose usage of language. So that if somebody is clearly saying, I'm going to go this day to davening on time, beneder, we understand that what he really means is bishvua, not beneder, because you can't make a neder to do something. But when it comes to the use of iser, we take the formulation to be absolute. It's formulated like a neder, it's a neder. It's formulated like a shvua, it's a shvua. Where do I see this, says Rava, that the Torah took that word isar and put it right in the middle of neder and shvua? Look again at that pasuk in Matot. What does it say? V'im beit isha nadara. Okay, there's neder. O asra isar. Whoa, there's iser. Bishvua, there's shvua. Therefore, it means that iser is seen as secondary, either to neder or to shvua. That's how I interpret the whole thing. Now, this machlok is between Abaya over here and Rava is actually l'shitatam. Because Rava was saying, no, the only way to understand this is to assume that there is no such thing as mitvas b'shvua. Whereas the way that Abaya had explained it is that there certainly could be a mitvas b'shvua, and that's exactly what the iser of iser is. I recognize that there are those who don't hold of that, and therefore we said isareh of isar is dependent on if you hold motzi matvis b'shvua is kemotzi shvua mipiv. So that's the machlokas. So, also the Tamayot, the Itmar. What's the din of a matvis b'shvua? Abaya omer kemotzi shvua mipiv dami. V'rava omer lav kemotzi shvua mipiv dami. So that is very consistent with their opinions up until now. Now, let me please, I understand there's a lot of material here. It's not an easy daf. I've tried to present it in as it just goes back and forth. I want to just represent the ideas that we've spoken about. So initially, we opened up with the question of, is there such a thing as a shvuas bitui l'sha'avar in light of the fact that the Torah only talks about it here in Vayikra, in our pasuk, in the dinim of Karbonoi v'Yored, which has been our focus, the Torah only talks about it in terms of the future. So to remember that, we have that machloket between Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah takes Rabbi Akiva's approach. There's a time mirror image of the din of Shvuas Bitui. According to Rabbi Shmuel, there's no such thing as Shnayim Shein Arba. There's only a Shvuas Bitui La'atid. That was the first thing we learned. Next thing we learned, Agav, in the Mishnah, was that there is a question about whether when a person uses the word achila in a shvua, does this make it the equivalent of an iser achila, or is it an iser of dibur that has nothing to do with the concept of achila? Then we went on to discuss the words, the meaning of words, including contextuality and tonality. That was our next step. Now, this, of course, these were just brief mentions of sugyas that take up a lot of space elsewhere, but just to get them aside. So that was the next thing that we had mentioned, was that din. And then there was an additional question, also rapidly discussed, is the possibility of a stumble, a word that was said that wasn't meant that way, is that taken into consideration in a shvua? Fine. Now let's get back to the main issues that we spoke about. We've introduced over here an analysis of the various psukim throughout the Torah, both so far, both from our Parsha in Vayikra and from Parshas Matos, which has a lot of mentions because it talks about different stages of married life and if somebody makes a shvua and so on. So we talked over there about what the difference is of a lashon of shvua, a lashon of neder, a lashon of miftah, and a lashon of isar. On the way, we also discussed this new idea of a mitvas. A mitvas means either that there is really an actual existing current neder, which would be a mitvas for neder, or there's a current existing shvua, which is a mitvas for shvua, or it means a theoretical hatfasa, such as the concept of this is usher. Well, you didn't say what it's usher as. that might be the equivalent of a mitzvah in a shvua instead of the actual language of shvua, which is the way Abaya explained things. Rava explained there is no such thing as a mitzvah b'shvua, and therefore the question of the word isar is only a matter of formulation. Since there are two possible isars, one is a neder and one is a shvua, the Torah specifically went out of its way to put the word isar between the term neder and the term shvua when it was describing the status of a woman who gets married, to tell us that it's totally contextual. This is not the same as the contextual we said before. Contextual, the word we said before, had to do with literally the social context. Over here, when I say contextual, I mean contextual on the formulation of the sentence. What does the word mean in the context of a sentence? That's the formula, we'll call it, as opposed to the context. So if you use the neder formula, this item is usher on me, then usher is a neder, even though you didn't say the word beneder. But if you say, this item is meant to be eaten by me, that is the formulation of a shvua. And then if you say, this item, I am usher to eat it, since you're talking about yourself and not the item, which merely happens to be the object, but you are the subject, that means that this is a shvua. And this was Rava's opinion, because he was not willing to talk about those strange words, the iser of iser. According to Abaya, that meant it's a function of your opinion. And according to Rava, it's a function of your formulation. Okay? Those were the simple ideas that we've brought up so far. And now we're going to be talking about, for a moment, see if we can bring a raya about whether there is such a thing as mitzvahs, which has to do with this machlokas of Rava and Abaye. So Meisvet, we got a little bit of a problem, because it says beferish in the Braita, Eze isar ha'amur baturah, if somebody says, Arei alai shelo ochal basar, v'shelo eshte yayin, I accept upon myself not eating this meat or wine, ki yom shemet bo aviv, like I said on the day that my father had died, or kiyom shemet bo ploni, like I said on the day that my friend had died, and I was so distraught that I took it upon myself that food is usur on me. So if he said that, and even if he said, like the day that Gedalia ben Achikam was killed, now that turned out to be Tzom Gedalia, right? So it also means that there is an isur of achila, or kiyom shera'a Yerushalayim b'churbana, or the day that I came and saw the ruins of Yerushalayim and I took upon myself a fast because of the pain of that day. All of those examples are examples of an extant neder, not of shvua, because all of these were really, he asered food on himself, not asered himself on food. So all of those cases are considered to be usur. Only, says Shmuel, yes, they're considered to be usur, only if you had actually made that neder on that day. If you hadn't made that neder, so suppose on the day his father died, he didn't eat, then he can't say, I'm usuring today like the day my father died, because the day his father died was not a day of usur. So this is the concept of a davar ha-nadur. Now, this is a very important yesod. There's a davar ha-asur versus a davar ha-nadur. Suppose somebody says, this meat is usur on me like basar chazir. That is not a neder, because making something usur like chazir is not up to you. That is a din in the Torah, and it has nothing to do with nadurim. That wouldn't even work as neder. You can't say it's like basar chazir. What is that supposed to mean? What, you are changing God's mind and you are making high-calorie cookies basar chazir? You can't do that. But if you had made a neder that this high-calorie cookie is usur on me, and then there's another thing that you see that's also high-calorie, and you say, this thing is on me like those high-calorie cookies are, that would be a mitzvah, but not a neder, a davar ha-nadur. Therefore, so Shmuel, in all of these cases, now you'll note the one strange case that got in here, which is Gedalia ben Achikam. Because Gedalia ben Achikam would be, anyway, a Tainis Tzibur. Is that the equivalent of a Davar HaNadur, or is that the equivalent of a Davar HaAsur, like eating Chazer? Okay, but that we'll get to. But in any event, this is a classic case of mitvas on a neder. So now, the truth is that hatfasa in a neder, nobody argues on that. When Rava said that hatfasa on a shvua is not hatfasa, there is nothing in his mind that compares this to the dinim, the many dinim that we find throughout Shas about hatfasa b'neder. I mean, it's a whole discussion of davar hanadur, a davar asur b'neder. Rava didn't argue on this. But what bothers us is that bishlama la'abaye, according to Abaye, this makes sense because a matvis b'neder is a neder, and therefore makes sense that a matvis b'shvua is a shvua. But according to Rava, isn't this a problem? Now, Tosva says, why is it a problem? Obviously, it's a mission of Beferish in Meseches Nazir that a hatfasa b'neder is a neder. Remember the whole mission about Hareini Nazir, and the next guy says, Va'ani, I am too. What do you mean you am too? What are you, a two? But that means you can be matfis in an existing Naziris. There's no question about that. The only question that we're asking on Rava, says Tosfos, is the fact that Rava explained the word Iser as Iser in the Pasuk is talking about Iser of Hatfasa. That's what we thought it meant over here. And according to Rava, it did not mean Hatfasa. That's our problem. Remember that Rava had explained when it says Iser in the Pasuk, it put it specially between Shvua and Neder to tell you that we're not talking about Hatfasa. We're talking about the Neder made with the word Iser. So we thought that that's what it's saying here in the Braita, that the Rava, that the word Iser in the Pasuk is against Rava because we're explaining it as Hatfasa. Omalacha Rava. No, no, no. It's two completely different things. We're not talking about the Pasuk, and that's the same as the Mishnah that we had. Tritza Emahach, Ezeu Iser Neder HaAmur B'Torah. Where will you find a proper Neder only if you were matfises on a Dover HaNodor? That's what it's saying. So if somebody says, Harei Alay Shelo Chal Basar Shalosh Tayayin Ki Yom Shemet Po Aviv, Ki Yom Shenerak Bo Ploni, and he did not say, Harei Alay Shelo Chal Basar Ki Basar Chazir, which would not have been a neder. So this is just a general idea. He's not talking about Hatfasa in the Dorim. He's talking about if somebody made a neder, but he compared this neder to something that was a davar ha'osr instead of a davar ha'nodur, it's to tell me that you can only be matvis with a davar ha'nodur. Now, I must tell you that there's a very confusing Rashi about this, and I'm telling you the pshat of all the Rishonim, but Rashi seems to say over here that the only way to make a neder is by making a hatfasa to something which is nodur, which seems to be a contradiction, ipso facto. I mean, so how did you make the first neder? A lot of discussion of what Rashi is trying to say and the contradictions to Rashi and the Dorim and so on. So let's just take the normal pshat that is said in the Gemara. In the event that a person is comparing something to a dover that was a dover on another and so on, this is the halacha of how it has to work. It has to be on a dover on another. That's all that it means. How do we know that? My timer. Amakro ish ki yidor neder la Hashem, ad shi yidor bedavar hanadur. Now, what's the chiddush over here? Obviously, if he had made a neder not to eat on the yard side of his father, or as Richie would have said, on the yard side of his mother, which we already mentioned while he was in davening, so then isn't that obvious that that is a davar hanadur? Pshita. No, you're right, it is pshita, but the part that is a chiddush was ki yom shener agbo gedalia ben achikam. That's really not so clear at all. That I need to teach you. It's trichalei. Because sakadai d'chamina, kiven d'chilona dar nami osur. Look, if you hadn't made a neder yourself not to eat on some gedalia, you would still have been bound not to eat because of the fact that it's a tiny tzibur, albeit not through a neder, but through the chiyuv to be mekayim, the taniyot that the tzibur was mekabel on itself. So I might have thought that kiva dechilona darnami osur, so even if you add a neder to it, that is not going to be an iser that you can be toyface on at all, because it was, you're trying to make a neder on something that is osur already. So I would have thought lo havi ala iser, and that's not called a matfis beneder. Kamash malon, that it's two completely different things, and that you can make that neder and therefore be matfis in that neder. Fine. So now we end up, that was just, again, a tangential question on Rava. We've answered the issue of Rava about the use of the word iser, but we're left with the essential point that Rava is making, and that is that the way that you use the word iser, if you say it as a shmua, that I accept on myself an iser about eating this, and that's a shmua. If you say, this thing is usr alai, that's a neder. That's what we're left with. And now we want to see whether this is Rava's personal opinion or whether this is actually built on strong rayas from elsewhere. So says the Gemara, the truth is that af Rabbi Yochanan savala laha de Rava. Because Ravin quotes Rabbi Yochanan when he came from Eretz Yisrael, dechiata Ravin omer Rabbi Yochanan, if you say mifta lo ochala, or you say isar lo ochala, that is a shpua. So you see that the word isar is not hatfasa. It is, according to Rabbi Yochanan, exactly the same as saying mifta, and it's a direct shpua. Now, question that we have left is which pasuk in the Torah is a reference to which isar in terms of your chiyuv. We know that we had our pasuk in Vayikra about korban oil of yored, but it wasn't clear what the iser lav was. We know that we have the iser lav of lotisa of a shvua shav, and let's take a look, therefore, at some of the azharis and try to figure out whether you'd be chayav malchus, whether you'd be chayav a korban, based on the way that the pasuk is presented. So kiyaser of dimi, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, somebody says, I will eat, I won't eat, and violates it. That is a classic shvuat sheker. It's a shvua that you ended up not keeping. So you lied. Now, there's two different ways of understanding the word you lied. Usually, you lied means you said something had happened that hadn't happened in the past. You said something hadn't happened that had happened in the past. That's always the accusatory tone of you lied. When somebody says, I will eat the cookie, and he doesn't eat the cookie, you can say that he lied, but it only becomes a lie ex post facto when he doesn't eat the cookie and he gave himself only today to eat the cookie, right? So this is our question. How do I look at it? Rabbi Yochanan says that iser is the iser of the pasuk v'loti shavu b'shmi la'shaker v'chilat Hashem Elokecha that we learned in Kedoshim Tiyu. It goes together with isurim of lying, which were lo tignovu, lo techachashu, lo tishakeru, ishba amito, velo tishavu b'shmi la'shaker. So the chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan is that even though this is a commitment to the future, if you don't commit, you don't keep what you committed to, it's also a lie. You would be chayev for that lie because it says, don't swear on something which is a lie. Lo tishavu v'shmi la'shaker. Well, on the other hand, the time-mirrored image of the shvuas bitur, which is what we usually use, the word you lied, is not a lie. And actually, if somebody says the opposite, I did eat the cookie, I didn't eat the cookie, that is a shvua shav, because shav, as opposed to sheker, shav means it is completely without meaning. Because since when you issued it, it was already a lie, So what you're saying is basically completely meaningless. And that's not what sheker is. Sheker is a commitment that you didn't keep. You must keep your word. So note in English the difference. You must keep your word is a reference to the future. And we view that almost as a synonym for lying. He didn't keep his word. Okay, so that's a lie. This is how Rabbi Yochanan understands it. Masha Inken, you'd never say that a guy who lied about something in the past didn't keep his word. He's just straight out talking in nonsense. Lies, vanities, impossibilities, all of those things are the same. Things that have no reality are all shov. So if I swear that this stick is a stick, I mean, it's a meaningless statement. So that's called shov. If I swear that this stick is a piece of gold, it's a lie. But it's not a lie. It's a meaningless statement. I swear I didn't eat the cookie. You did eat the cookie. It's a lie. Yeah, but it's a lie, but it's a completely meaningless statement. Therefore, it's included in the Isser of Shav, and it is not going to be Mechayev you, a Korban Oyla V'Yoyred. And it's not included in this Pasuk if it's V'Sha'avar. So this is yet now a new Shita, in which case it's not included in what we've been saying. Shayim Shein Arba would be Mechayev, a Korban Oyla V'Yoyred. What are you over on if you do that? Achalti below achalti, you're over on the pasuk in the Shnei Luchot HaBrit. Lo tisa et shem Hashem Elokecha l'shav. That's a completely different thing. How about if you make something usher on yourself, which is called konamot, because we use the word korban because of Nidrei Hekdesh. If you don't keep your word in the future in terms of something being usher on you, that is a completely different Isser, and that's the opening of Matot. Ish ki yidor neder l'Hashem, o hishavah shvuah le'esor isur al nafsho, lo yachel devoro. So then you would be over on lo yachel, not on lo tishavu b'shmi l'shaker, and not on lo tisa shev Hashem elokecha l'shav, but lo yachel devoro. This is the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan, as it's quoted by Rav Dimi. So we've got some problems with this. First of all, the Braita says, what appears to be the biggest smack in the face, Shav v'sheker echad hein. And actually, the Isser Shua Shav and the Isser Shua Sheker are one and the same. Now, I'm assuming, but obviously it's not one and the same. We have two separate psukim, Lo tishavu b'shmi l'sheker, and Lo tisa shem Hashem l'kecha l'shav. So it obviously doesn't mean literally one and the same. What it must mean, therefore, is that both of them are references to the past, the opposite of what Rabbi Yochanan said, that when you say a lie about I did not eat the cookie in the cookie jar, the same way that shav is essentially lishavar, because it's always talking about at the moment that you said it, it is immediately shav. It has nothing to do with the future, even if it's about the future. I swear I will fly to the moon today. That's a shvuah shav. That's not a shvuah sheker because it's not about the future. It's about whether you said something meaningful. So therefore, it's by definition a avar. So then that would mean that achalti v'lo achalti is a sheker because it's referring to the past. And you said, Rabbi Yochanan, that no, actually, achalti v'lo achalti in the past is a shav, not a sheker. It's in the future that it's a sheker. This tells me that you're wrong. Achalti v'lo achalti is a shvuah sheker. No, come on. It doesn't say what isser you're over. Each one of them, you could be over something else. Huh? So what do you mean? It could be over something else. And what's the point of saying that it's all the same thing? It's me, the Iria. This is a proof. Fakir is, fakir isa. Each one has its own separate isser. But so then, my davar echad, what did you mean when you said that sheker and shav is all the same? I mean, it's obviously not all the same. No, davar echad means dibor echad. You don't understand. It means the same way that we have zochar v'shomar b'dibor echad nemru, and we sing about that, right? Okay, so zochar v'shomar is all one davar echad. It's one dibor of Hashem. So too, Lo tisa shmi lashav, and lashaker was said as one dibor. That's what it means. Kidatanya. Zachar v'shomer b'dibor echa demru, ma she'en ha'peh yachol l'daper, u'ma she'en ha'ozen yachol l'shmoa. In terms of our time-challenged existence, we cannot really imagine what that means. How can one thing be two things? But if you don't have this problem of preventing all things occurring at once because you're a time creature, so then things can occur at once and you won't find that in the least bit confusing. And that's true, you can't say it and you can't hear it, but that's the way it is existential for now. That's what this means. What do you mean that's what this means? It's ridiculous. I mean, the meaning of a Dibur Echad is not some type of esoteric Kabbalistic issue. It's there to teach me a halacha. Bishlama Hasam, the meaning of a Dibur Echad Nemro, which is seen from the two psukim, is coming to tell us a chiddush lahalacha. Kid Rav Ada Bar Ava. The Omer Rav Ada Bar Ava. Noshim or chayavot b'kiddush hayom dvar Torah. Women are chayav in kiddush, and this is a deoraisa, not a derabana. Why? Because since zachar v'shomer were the same pasuk, so to speak, kol sheyeshno b'shmira, that would mean that whoever is included in shmira. What is shmira? Shmira is the lo ta'aseh, right? Kol makom shenemar pen yishamer al. It's all shen lo ta'aseh. Are women usher in Chilul Shabbos? Of course. Hani nashi hove isnu b'shmira. Since women are chayavot in all of the lavim in the Torah, and zachar is the same thing as shamar, so even though zachar is a mitzvah asay and not a mitzvah lo tase, and it's a mitzvah asay shazman gorma, because it only occurs now on Shabbos, and therefore I would normally have thought that women are potter in the zechira. But since in this case they're chayev in the Shmira, they're also chayev in the Zechira. Fine, that's a big chiddush, and it comes from seeing that the pasuk interchanges the word zachar for the word shamar in the parsha of Eschanan and in the parsha of Yitro. That's lovely. But what in the world would it mean over here? Shvua shav and shvua sheker, b'dibor echa nemru, what does that even mean? Ocha l'may yilchatami b'ayleh. Ella, kishem shaloka al shav kach loka al sheker. That's what it means. It's coming to tell me what I said before. It's not this business of b'dibur echad, sorry. But it's comparing them, as we said before. Shav and sheker are one thing, meaning they're one thing in the sense that they share a chiev of malchus. We've never discussed malchus until now. Well, now let's start discussing it. Just like you understand that you're chayev on shav, so too you're chayev on sheker. Huh? Klapilaya, where the heck are you going? What do you think makes more sense? To tell me that if somebody said, I will not eat that cookie, and he goes and he eats that cookie, that is a regular lav, isn't it? I mean, it's a lav sheyeshbo maaseh. He actually went ahead and he was over on his shvua with an action to eat the cookie. I mean, that I would understand is something that you're chayav malchus on. If you want to tell me a chiddush, you should tell me, and so too on saying, I am flying to the moon. You're also chayav malchus. Why? You didn't do anything. You just said something. I understand that you'd want to tell me that shav is chayav the same way sheker is, but I don't understand what you just said. That the same way you get malchus on shav, you get malchus on sheker. Okay. So ela ema, kishem shaloka al sheker, the same way you can get malchus on a shvur sheker, because it would be standard, kach loka nami al shav, even though it's only al dibur. Says the Gemara Pshita. Rashi doesn't have this high lav, and many take it out, because obviously that's the whole thing we're talking about, is that they're really not the same. But the point is that Mao de Tema, I might have thought that the Pasuk of Shvua Shav actually is telling us, Lo Yinakeh, that what that means is there is no way to ever get a kapar. And if you've made a Shvua Shav, you will not get malchus because there is no way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to forgive you anyway. So what's the point of beating the guy up? It's not a kapara. So Mao de Tema, Pity Omar Le Rav Papa La Abaye. Abaye, we're going to see later on tomorrow, that Rav Papa says, how do you know that when it says in the Pasuk, Lo Yinakeh Hashem, maybe it means Lo Yinakeh at all, whether you would get malchus, you wouldn't get malchus, and therefore there is no onesh that is said about it. Kamash Malan, Kiddushanile, as we'll see later on, that he answered him, no, it says Lo Yinakeh Hashem, Hashem Lo Yinakeh, but Bezdin Shamata is Lokin, and they are Menachim. Or I can tell you, maybe it means something else. Maybe it doesn't mean that you're Chayiv Malchus. Maybe it means you bring a korban. Oh, maybe this is Rabbi Akiva. Oh, man, yes. If it's Rabbi Akiva, so then that means we have our time mirror that says that Sheker L'Sha'avar is also Chayiv. Oh, wow, that would be an amazing shot. So then when it says Shav V'Sheker are one, it's telling me that the same way that I bring a korban Eila V'Yoret on a Shvua Sheker, which is La'atid, and now Rabbi Yochanan said, but if you say Lo Achalti in the past or Achalti in the past, that's a Shvua Shav, but this is coming to tell me that the sheker, which is a shav, meaning l'sha'avar, you're also chayev on. That's the point. So sheker and shav are both chayev a korban olah v'yored. And that would be the mukor of Rabbi Akiva. So this would have been said by Rabbi Akiva, that even though I may view l'sha'avar as a time mirror, which doesn't make much sense because it's completely passive, and it has to do only with the Dibor and nothing to do with what that is Mechayev you. So it shouldn't even be called Sheker. Who cares? That's not the point. That's the point of what it is that the Torah used as the words to tell you that this is Aser. Fine, so use it the Iser of Shav. But when it comes to the Chiyav of the Korban, the Torah's not talking about what Iser you did. The Torah is simply saying, here is the Korban to bring on either La'ra la'etiv in the future, or hara haro'eti, or heitavti in the past. I don't care where you got it from. And both of them are included in this parsha of Korban Olah V'Yored, and that would be great. So Ibo Eitema, what it's coming to tell me that it's Echad, is that Kishem Shemevi Korban al-Sheker, Kach Mevi Korban al-Shav, and it's going al libra Rabbi Akiva de Mechayev L'Shavar, wonderful. I must admit, a most complex daf. Very important to parse it properly and to know each piece, not to get it confused with the issues that have been discussed before. Once you see it that way and you're aware of the nature of all of the psukim, it really becomes quite simple in the Chazara. So I would urge you to look it over again.